Hello, I'm Dr. Steve Showalter, your host for Science Elements, a digest of cutting-edge research from the American Chemical Society, the world's largest scientific society. At the intersection of art and science stands one famous figure, Leonardo da Vinci. Da Vinci was perhaps the most remarkable man of all time, revered to this day as an innovator in both art and science. Born 40 years before Columbus sailed for the Americas, Da Vinci produced the Mona Lisa and other classic masterpieces of the Renaissance. As a scientist, he foresaw the development of the parachute, helicopter, and scuba diving gear centuries before they actually became realities. In Da Vinci's mind, art and science were inseparable. Study the science of art and the art of science, he urged. And that's exactly what we'll do in this episode as we explore the ever-evolving relationships between science and art in all of its many forms. So in the next few minutes, you'll hear about how opera can teach chemistry students a thing or two about poisons and potions, how an ancient Egyptian pigment could help modern medicine, and finally, why a man-made light display rivals a stunning natural phenomenon. Opera audiences can feel the chemistry in romance-inspired classics like Mimi's aria from La Bohème or Cavaradossi's remembrance of his beloved while awaiting execution in Tosca. But a scientist in Portugal suspects the lovelorn aren't the only ones who could benefit from a night at La Scala Opera House. João Paulo André suggests that focusing on the real chemistry behind the potions and poisons used in opera could be a terrific way to engage students and help the general public better appreciate the chemical sciences. In an article in the Journal of Chemical Education, a monthly ACS publication, he cites numerous examples of themes involving chemistry that thread their way through some of the most famous operas. For instance, in Samuel Barber's opera Antony and Cleopatra, the Egyptian queen takes her own life with a bite from a poisonous snake. André explains the chemistry of snake bites and venom, a complex mix of neurotoxins. Venom causes destruction of the victim's tissues and even death. Other examples André cites include Ambras, Tomas, Hamlet, Verdi's Simone Boccanegra, and Mozart's Mitri d'Arte, Re di Ponto. By the time Antony and Cleopatra met, Egyptian blue was one of the most frequently used pigments in the ancient world. Now, scientists in Georgia report that this bright blue pigment could offer insights into the development of new nanomaterials with potential uses in state-of-the-art medical imaging devices, remote controls for televisions, and other technologies. Their report appears in the Journal of the American Chemical Society, a weekly ACS publication. Tina Salguero and colleagues point out that Egyptian blue, regarded as humanity's first artificial pigment, was used in paintings on tombs, statues, and other objects throughout the ancient Mediterranean world. Remnants have been found on the statue of the messenger goddess Iris on the Parthenon. It was also used in the famous pond in a garden fresco within the tomb of Egyptian scribe and counter of grain Nebaman in Thebes. In their new work, the researchers found that calcium copper silicate in Egyptian blue breaks apart into nanosheets so thin that thousands would fit across the width of a human hair. The sheets produce invisible infrared radiation similar to the beams that communicate between remote controls and other telecommunication devices. Salguero says calcium copper silicate could lead the development of a new class of nanomaterials that could be used in a number of state-of-the-art devices, including near-infrared-based biomedical imaging and security ink formulations. In our final story this week, a man-made light show outshines one of nature's most spectacular displays. Move over, Aurora Borealis. A new set of lights is garnering attention up north. It's all thanks to Big Oil, whose companies have inadvertently created a light display capable of being seen from space. According to Chemical and Engineering News, the Society's weekly news magazine, the display was noticed upon review of images generated by the Suomi National Polar Orbiting Partnership satellite. The satellite, which was launched in 2011 by NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, houses a radiometer capable of detecting Earth's visible and infrared light. Its data have been used to construct nighttime maps of Earth. The first maps were made public at the end of last year. As expected, much of the light imaged by the satellite came from cities. Less expected was the luminescence detected in rural North Dakota. That's where the satellite spied light produced by the state's burgeoning oil scene, including light stemming from oil drilling equipment and housings. The satellite even imaged flames produced by flaring, a process in which unwanted natural gas generated by oil drilling is burned. According to NASA spokeswoman Arias Keck, two factors play an important role in making these flares visible from space: the power of the satellite and the remote location of the drilling. Well, that's all for now. I'm Dr. Steve Showalter for the American Chemical Society. Science Elements is adapted for podcast from ACS Press Releases and ACS Weekly Press Packs. To access this week's Press Pack, February 20th, 2013, go to www.acs.org/pressroom. From all of us at Science Elements, thanks for listening.